You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, and sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, maybe you agree with one of our guests who thinks music should be mandatory in schools. But how are we going to pay for that? Plus, a swan song review segment with our movie guy. Let's meet the friends. Keeping track of trends in music, it's Aaron Myers.
A boy bander may be making some fans very happy with his comments about his perfect companion. I'll tell you what he said coming up.
With stories that'll have you crawling out of your skin, Jay Campadonia is here.
In the words of Sir Mix-a-Lot, my anaconda don't want none, but this guy does. I'll explain.
And always erring on the side of good taste, it's Chris Martin.
Phil, I have three words for you, buddy. Keira Knightley, topless.
Just stop. Let's stop the music. Stop.
How's that for a slug
line? Kill the music.
All right. Oh, boy.
What?
Yeah, one more time.
No, I can't take it anymore. Please.
The rest of the show will be over.
I'll tell you all about it later.
Oh, okay.
Just thinking about it, that's what tripped me up on the intro. So it's that good, folks. Stick
you
around.
You knew about it?
I did.
We got the Sir Mix-a-Lot thing going, or whatever his name is.
Sir Mix-a-Lot, yeah, okay. I know. I shouldn't drink before the show.
Well, yeah. Boy. Although sometimes, well, okay, fine.
Everything just goes downhill when you guys know tatas are involved.
That's right.
Well, see. And on that note, let's start with you, Aaron. You have a story for us. About which boy band are we talking about here?
Well, we're talking about One Direction and, you know, one of their most famous boy band members, Harry Styles. You know, he's the one who dated Taylor Swift for a while.
Is he the one with a pile of hair on his head?
Yes, he's okay. Got the big mop and girls love him and he has had those highly publicized relationships. Well, now he may have a bigger dating pool because on a talk show called On Demand Entertainment, he and his bandmate Liam Payne were talking about, you know, what they look for in the perfect companion. And Liam Payne responded, female. And while he was saying that, Harry Styles started shaking his head at the comment and said, that's not important. He said sense of humor and being nice to people are important to
being
him.
Being female's not important to Harry Styles?
No, that's what he said. Not important is female. Ooh. More important is sense of humor. So people are taking that as maybe he's bisexual.
Well, how many men are shrieking right now?
Will they?
They're going to be very excited men.
Will
very
they
excited
be
men.
Changing the name of the band to Two Directions?
There it is.
Oh, boy.
That's interesting, though. Uh-huh. So he's gay.
Or bisexual. I mean, I know he's a big supporter of the LGBT community.
You either are or you aren't.
Look, Jay, throughout the annals of rock and roll history,
hey, careful.
Singers in bands have been androgynous. They've embraced androgyny. You don't know which way they're going. Mick Jagger, David Bowie, Grace Jones. The list goes on
forever. Yeah, but do you think that's like a PR thing just so they can up their listenership or up the fan numbers?
It's rebellious is what
it is. No, it's not. It's I want to make as much money as possible. So if I can sell tickets to teenage girls or gay men in their 40s, I'm going to do it.
You don't think gay men in their 40s were already buying One Direction albums?
Well, that's true.
They were. Yeah, they were. They had the posters on the walls.
I love this song.
I do, too.
Yay.
All
yeah.
right. I'm with you,
shower.
Jay. I think he's very conscious of the LGBT community, and he was thinking, listen, when you're listing traits of what's important in a person, their gender isn't, you know?
Yeah. Wow.
But that's I suppose that is for only a specific group.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Well, that's interesting.
Thank you, Ambassador, is what we should say.
Yeah, right.
My goodness. Chris, didn't know I could count on you to reel us all in.
That's what I'm here for.
All right. Well, we were, for a moment there, stuck on a ledge or on a skyscraper looking at the concrete below, about to die before Chris saved us. But, Aaron, you have a story for us related somehow.
To that, yeah. A guy in Dubai, a window washer, actually was up 10 floors when his lift malfunctioned. So the police came to the scene and they actually sent a drone up to where he was. And they used that drone to talk to him with the microphone and calm him down. And then they used the camera to show, to look actually at the platform and see what was wrong with it. And from there, they guided him on how to fix the platform. He got down safely, but they used a drone for it. So they do have some good uses, I guess, if you use it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not just spying on people, helping
spectacular. Yeah. And it could have gone very badly, too, because guys hate when their lift malfunctions.
Yes, absolutely. You know, there's a website now dedicated to drone porn. Have you guys heard about this yet?
What is drone porn?
So it's two people doing the dippity, and there's a drone flying over.
Look at the angles you get on that one.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Oh, so they're like in a canyon somewhere?
Exactly.
Oh, okay. I was just thinking like different kind of shots.
It taps into the voyeuristic.
Yeah.
So it's a little like Where's Weirdo?
Kinda, yeah.
Is it called droneporn.com?
No, probably. I don't know. I read an article about it last night. It's that they're trying to branch out and use drones in filmmaking, and they go, hey, you know what?
This is where people get confused, because when you're on the Twitter, people use hashtags like car porn, and all that is lots of pictures of cars.
And food porn.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
Just pictures of food. But in this case, it's not pictures of drones.
No, not at all.
Oh, all right.
No. I didn't find it erotic at all. I was like, that looks
kind of
weird.
It's too far away.
You know, I was doing my job, and I had to research the drone porn.
Yeah.
That's what you're supposed to
do. Oh, that old excuse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I know, and it's going to be great because I did it on my work computer.
But it's so far away. It's like watching porn with Braille. Is that what that is?
Or you can barely see it. Yes, I guess it could be. But there is something really cool with Braille right now. There's a 13-year-old kid named, I might get this wrong, Shubham Banerjee. He's 13. He's one of the youngest venture capitalist-backed entrepreneurs ever. And at 12, just last month, he closed an early-stage funding round with Intel Capital to make this low-cost Braille printer. And I guess he came up with it using, like, high-tech Legos. So, very creative kid. I guess his parents gave him $35,000 to start, but then Intel came in, and they didn't say how much they gave him. But
more than 35 grand?
Yes, more than that. Wow. They're thinking a few hundred thousand, probably, so he's going to build a better prototype and test it with different groups.
What's his name? Shut up.
Jeez, Phil.
Oh, no, that's going to make us all shut up when we see 12 and 13-year-olds are smarter than us.
Yeah.
But Shubham Banerjee,
Shubham.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good for Shubham.
Yeah. And he says he will stay in school even if this takes off, which I think is a good idea.
What's a high-tech logo?
Lego?
I thought they were blocks.
Logo or Lego?
Lego.
Excuse me.
I don't know.
They light up?
Maybe. They move.
Oh.
I don't know. I'm making that up.
Still cool.
Yeah, very cool. Legos into a Braille printer.
Legos are bigger than any of us know.
Yeah, really.
They may be
the perfect toy.
Yeah. I never owned a single one of them.
Really?
Never.
You had a deprived childhood, my
friend. We had popsicle sticks and rocks, pretty much. That was it.
I picture you as a Lincoln log and erector set.
I had an erector set.
Yeah.
And if you had the erector set of my day today, they would the authorities would come and take you away from your parents.
Right.
Because somebody's going to get hurt and start crying.
Yep, nothing but sharp metal objects.
That's right. Talking about sharp. Is this guy out of his mind? He's going to be, what, eaten alive?
He must be out of his mind. So I am a huge proponent of the Discovery Channel. That's pretty much all I watch.
I love it.
They've got hunting shows. They've got science shows. They've got awesome guys on, you know, big ships catching crab shows. I love the Discovery Channel. And I saw this promo the other day about a show that's called Eaten Alive. And I go, what the hell is this? Now, Discovery Channel does a lot of cool specials. They just had that guy that, I don't know if you guys saw it, the guy who walked across a couple buildings in
Chicago. The high wire guy.
The high wire guy.
Nick Walenza. Yeah.
Nick Walenza. The wonder, what wonderful Walenza, whatever. But anyways.
The flying Walenzas.
Yes. Yeah, there you go. Where he walked up an incline of 19 degrees, broke a world record on a high rope. And I can't remember, was he 63 stories up? But anyways.
Too high.
Yeah, too high.
Without a net and without a tie line or a holster.
Right,
or
just a balancing bar. That's all he had. Then he did it blindfold. Well, their newest adventure into shock programming is called Eaten Alive, where a guy is going to be eaten by an anaconda. So Discovery says the new show will follow wildlife expert Paul Rosalie, who's only 30 years old, and his team as they find an anaconda in South America and then coax the snake into swallowing him alive. But he's got this snake-proof suit on the entire time.
Wow. They make those?
It's his own design.
Yeah. That's not going to end well at all.
I don't think so. I don't know.
Not at all.
They're going to have medical staff and a medical team ready to go. To
What's
jump
on his
in.
Head? But What's on his face?
He's got a helmet. It's a full. It looks like a. It looks like an Iron Man suit.
I kind of feel for the anaconda because they're gonna. Are they gonna have to cut him out of the anaconda?
I don't know.
After
yet.
He gets swallowed, so then, I don't know. You know, this is not nice to a snake.
Maybe they let him go all the way through the process till he comes out
that,
the other
that
end.
That takes a long yeah. time. He better have an oxygen like mask and
well,
stuff
plus,
on with him.
The snakes, they have these superhuman. Well, they're not. They're super snakeum. super reptile enzymes inside their body that devour whatever they swallow, because they don't really chew you up. They just put you in there, and then the acids go to work,
yeah.
and you turn into whatever you get turned into before you come out the other end.
I don't know what his suit is made out of. They're not releasing that information because he wants to patent it, I'm sure.
That sounds like a fun vacation. Let's all go and get eaten by an anaconda.
Well, yeah. That'd be kind of cool. It's like, you cool. know, on your at the resort, you know, you've got zip lining, windsurfing, and then being eaten by an anaconda.
Yay! Oh, my gosh.
The Eaten Alive is scheduled for December 7th, if you are interested. I don't like snakes, but guy's nutso.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm interested in is something that Chris said at the top of the program. What was it that you said at the top of the program again, Chris?
I said three words, Phil. I said Keira Knightley topless.
That's next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Well, you're not kidding. When you said you were going to listen to Phil Hewlett and Friends, you stood your ground, you did exactly that, and now you're here and you have this. Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Aaron, Chris, and Jay are here. And you've been waiting for this. Why in the world would a lady who has everything? She's a big movie star. She's got great roles. It seems like she's in 5 movies a year. And every now and then they make another one of those pirate movies, and she can decide whether she wants to be in it or not. And they offer her all kinds of money, and she says, no thanks. I'd rather be in these English period pieces, and I'm happy. And everybody watches those, right? Except you, Chris?
I've seen a couple of them.
Not your piece of cake, huh?
No. I like the action movies. I want to see stuff blow up.
Yeah. Then watch Pirates. She's in the Pirates of the Caribbean.
That one I'm a fan of.
And that's a period piece.
But not all of them, though. She quit on it after a while.
She did?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think Penelope Cruz came in after.
Well, then.
Yes.
Gotta love her,
too. Check that out.
Yes.
But it is true. And apparently, she's doing this act out of a form of protest. But it is true that, yes, Keira Knightley has posed topless in Interview magazine. And it's her own personal protest against photoshopping.
Why?
Really?
Yeah. She says she demands the photo be unedited so people see what she really looks like. She says she's had her body manipulated so many times for so many reasons. She finally said, go ahead and take the shots, but you can't make them any bigger or modify them in any way. And
well, you know how people are on the internet these days. That sounds like an invitation to a Photoshop Keira Knightley.
It's only a matter of time now.
Yeah, all right.
They're interesting-looking photos.
Are they?
Yeah, I had to take a look.
She's thin. Yeah. She's tiny, tiny, and she's tiny, tiny on top, too, so I'm out.
Yeah? You're out?
Yeah, like in Shark Tank,
when they
display something, and like, you know what, for this reason, I'm out. I'm out.
Yeah. Those are some annoying guys on that
Jay.
Show, though. Do we have that photo yet? No, I guess the Munchkins are working on it, getting it on our show fun page. But
what's that, the Keira Knightley photo?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's easy enough to find.
She's a pretty woman, so.
But in fact, we should have a Photoshop Keira Knightley contest.
Oh, no.
That'd be fun.
Yeah?
Oh, no.
Yes.
Just
like
put
that.
A couple of Jay's heads on there.
Oh, that would be great. Right? Yeah. Then she has some big knockers.
Yeah, that's right. I got a big noggin, so it's perfect.
Go ahead, Photoshop it, and then attach it to an email at feedback@philhewlettandfriends.com, and then we'll have some fun doing that. But it's also annoying, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, who do you think the most annoying TV host is?
TV host?
TV host. Do you have a one? How about you?
I do.
Aaron?
Ryan Seacrest.
Seacrest?
He's just everywhere.
Pretty
or
boy?
Was everywhere. And yes, that's, you know.
Good answer.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Yeah.
A little less Ryan's okay.
A little less? Okay. How about you, Chris? You have somebody?
I'll go with Brian Williams.
Brian Williams,
yeah.
Really?
Is he a host? Is he considered a host?
Yeah, sure. I suppose, yeah.
Is it too
category.
Soon for Dick Clark after a stroke?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. He's dead.
Too soon, Jay.
That's what I'm saying, but he was the most annoying.
But you
host.
Said it anyway.
Well,
I asked a question.
Okay. Here's a top 10 out of a list that was put together by the website Ranker.com. They asked America, which TV host do you think is the most annoying? And the top 10 in reverse order, number 10, Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah.
Number 9, Glenn Beck. Number 8, Geraldo. How does he say it? Geraldo Rivera. Dr. Phil is number 6.
My dad does a good impression of
him. I skipped number 7 because sadly it's Joan Rivers. Number 5 is Oprah Winfrey.
Really?
Annoying.
Fair enough. She's sort of jumped off onto the new age bridge.
You get annoyed. You get annoyed. Number 4, Donald Trump. He's a TV host. He has that You're Fired show.
What's yeah, he used to.
The Apprentice.
Yeah. The Apprentice. Piers Morgan.
Yes.
Who lost his gig because he's annoying, apparently. Al Sharpton is number 2.
That's phenomenal.
And the number 1 most annoying TV host, Nancy Grace.
I should have guessed that one. I used to sit there and yell at the TV when I had her on. That was the only reason I watched. We'd fight
But
secretly.
There are all sorts of other annoying people on the list. Bill O'Reilly, Kathy Lee Gifford, Keith Olbermann, Joy Behar. She annoys me, that one right there. Yeah. Chris Matthews, Tyra Banks, Sean Hannity, Wendy Williams, Bill Maher, Jerry Springer.
So pretty much every person who's a TV host is on the list.
It's just a list. That's all
I
it
am
is.
Not going to have a TV show. Otherwise, I'm going to show up on a list.
That's funny.
Absolutely, for sure. All right. A lot of times the athletes try to get into television. They get to try to get into movies and all of this, and it doesn't go so well. Isn't that right, Aaron?
Yeah, it doesn't all the time go that well, but for Brett Favre, he actually made a big cameo on a big movie in the 90s, There's Something About Mary. Such a great movie. I love that one. But apparently he wasn't their first choice. I guess they actually reached out to Drew Bledsoe first.
Wow.
And he had injured a woman in a mosh pit, so he thought it would look bad if he jumped on a plane and jetted off to star in a film. And after that, though, number 2 was Steve Young, who said he was worried about his kids seeing him in an R-rated movie, so then it went to Favre. After that.
Yeah. He's a big churchy, Steve Young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would not have been a good movie for him.
Churchy?
Yeah.
The whole Mary hair situation, the kids wouldn't understand that
one. No.
I think Drew Bledsoe was in the middle of losing his job as a starting quarterback also,
right.
So that probably slowed him down.
Exactly.
Yeah, and shortly after that, he got an endorsement from some mousse company, right? Hair mousse.
Is that hair gel?
Yeah, exactly. So, Jay...
Yes.
I mean, just the strangest stories today, and it seems like more and more people they're meeting with an untimely death because they're just being stupid with their cell phones.
Well, we have had a campaign on this show for a while now, the anti-selfie campaign. And don't be stupid when you're taking your selfies. Don't drive. Don't be on the edge of a cliff. Don't do any of these dumb things because you might die. Well, a Polish nursing student in Spain did just that. She was close to some 19th century, bridge out there in Spain that's all pretty, and I can't pronounce the name to save my life. And evidently, she was trying to get the perfect selfie, snap a pic here, pose this way, snap another pic, and she stumbled and fell 15 feet to the bridge's concrete flooring.
Oh, I was going to say 15 feet is survivable, but not if it's jagged concrete or is it even flat concrete?
It's concrete, and evidently passerbys, they ran down to try to help her. Medics came down. They tried to resuscitate her, but she passed away right there on the bridge trying to take the perfect selfie so she can get likes on Instagram or whatever else.
Oh, my goodness.
Dumbass. Officials in Spain say they have had to deal with this quite a bit because there's so much beautiful countryside out there. People are trying to take the perfect selfie, and they're dying. They actually had to pass a law that the running of the bulls out in Pamplona, you're not allowed to take a selfie once the bulls are released.
I can see that one.
Yeah, you can actually get a fine for $2,000 for doing something like that. So
don't die sad. Taking a selfie.
It's sad. It is a sad story.
You'll show up in somebody's compilation.
It sounds like another great example of where the invention we talked about last show would come in, which is the hairbrush selfie.
Yes.
Remember that one?
Yes.
Give you just a little bit more
extension.
Phil
loved that idea.
Yes. No, I didn't.
Old school and ask somebody to take a picture for you.
Oh, my God. Is
that
not
one.
An idea?
Mm-hmm.
Look
like
at
that.
You, Aaron.
I forgot that was even possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, see, that's the point. They're a bunch of idiots. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I got to take a selfie. No, you don't. No, you don't.
Yeah. Unless you're afraid of that one guy who says, sure, I'll take your picture, and then you pose, and he takes off running with your phone.
You know what? You got to live and let live, and that's just the way it is.
And you'll still be alive in that situation.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, guys. Let's move along here. And Chris, you've got a little fashion tip for us, don't you?
I do have a fashion tip for you. If you want to taste the rainbow in your dress, a woman has just released a dress made out of Skittles.
Whoa.
Believe that? It took over 200 hours and 4,000 Skittles to create. She was entering a beauty competition where the theme was sweet beauty. So she made an entire dress out of Skittles. It is pretty bizarre looking. Wow.
And awesome. I just checked, we have a picture of that Skittle dress and a scary looking lady wearing it on the show fun page at philhewlettandfriends.com. Go check it out. And oh man, some big movies are out this weekend. That space movie that's out, I think I got to see that one. But will our reviewer like that or any of the other movies that are out this weekend? He joins us next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks for tuning in to PhilHewlettandFriends.com. By the way, we have an app for Android users. Wow. That's right. You can keep up with the show, listen to every single episode of this program that we've ever done, ever. And it's simple to find. It's in the Google Play Store. Just go in there and search Phil Hewlett and Friends, or you can go to our How to Listen page at philhewlettandfriends.com, and there's a link to it right there. And very shortly, I'm told, any day now, we will have an app for you iPhone users as well.
What do you mean, you? What do you mean, you iPhone users? What are you doing?
Are you taking that to... What? To mean? Like, what did I mean by that?
I'm just kidding. I am not part of the no fun police.
One of my pet peeves is when somebody says, what did you mean by that? I said, did you not hear the words coming out of my mouth? I meant exactly what I said. Cryptic movie reference there. That and our movie reviewer, Michael Schrago, is with us now. And I gather that you've seen a handful of movies because a couple of big potential blockbusters are coming out this weekend. And one of them is that Matthew McConaughey in space trying to save the world movie, Interstellar.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
Starting out so positive.
Not good?
No. Well, you know, it's... if you thought Inception was a model of clarity, you know, then this movie would maybe be understandable to you.
Did you not like Inception, or is the clarity the issue?
I thought Inception had one great shot, the shot of Paris, the street in Paris folding in on itself, which was actually kind of like an American Express commercial at the time, but it was done on such a big scale that when you saw it in the theater, it was really great.
Yeah.
But I think he gets caught up in all these conceptual things that mean a lot more to him than he's able to translate to the audience. And in Interstellar, there's really nothing for me like that Paris street scene. It is full of serious people with ruffled brows around desks or in spaceships talking about the end of the world and how to avert it. And the space stuff itself is really, really dry. It didn't thrill me. I had a hard time understanding Matthew McConaughey's dialogue. The sound was, the effects were so ramped up, and the music was so
goofy. Was he talking in his Dallas Buyers Club accent?
No, he was trying to be really resolute and strong. You know, his character is named Coop. So he has to talk like Coop.
Yes,
you know?
That's a spaceman name right there. I've never known what all the hoopla is about Anne Hathaway, so shooting her off into space is okay with me. But is she any good in the movie?
No. Anne Hathaway has a lot of talent, and in fact, I thought Anne Hathaway was the best thing of the Catwoman in the last Batman movie that Christopher Nolan made. The problem is just that everything that's important happens off screen. The whole thing is like an internet movie. It's like constructed to be one thing after another. If you say it, you spoil it. So you know, all the fans will get on you, but the real super fans will want to see it just for that reason. My mind, the reason there are surprises is there's no compelling reason for anything to happen. So one thing might as well happen as another. So Hathaway doesn't get a chance to do anything. It's funny. I saw this at a Screen Actors Guild screening that they had to kind of kick it off. And the place was packed with actors. And afterwards, McConaughey, Anne Hathaway, and Jessica Chastain, who shows up in the second half as McConaughey's daughter, because of all the time he spends in outer space, you see, where he thinks it's a second, and it's like, you know, days back on Earth. You know, his little daughter, you know, grows up, and he remains the same age, you know, throughout the film. So it's one of those things. But anyway, they got up, and McConaughey kept talking about how it was really tough for him to play an everyman, like this spaceman is supposed to be, the guy who in this latter-day Dust Bowl.
Wins an Oscar, and now he can't be who he was before that? What a jerko.
You know, it's like, oh, who's an everyman? Well, he was just wrestling with the everyman thing. And then he said, well, I'll really focus on how bitter and sad this guy is, because he was trained as an astronaut, and then the U.S. gave up NASA, and you know, they rewrote the history book, so we didn't go to the moon. It was just a plot to beat the Soviets and make them, you know, spend all their money in different places. I mean, it's that kind of thing. And so I thought, okay, all right, so that's what he did. And then Anne Hathaway came up and said that she really didn't understand her character at all and kept throwing things like spaghetti on the wall. And then Jessica Chastain said she felt alienated through the whole thing, which I guess she thought, she said that was okay because the character was sort of like that. And after hearing these three actors, you know, all of them very talented, kind of basically talking about how limited and woeful their parts in the movie was, I had to agree with them. You know, I guess the only way I disagreed was that they came up with anything worth watching at the end of it.
Okay, but it's still gonna make 30, 40 million bucks this weekend, right?
Well, I would think it's probably even going to make more, and it probably will make 50, 55 million bucks.
Wow.
But this one, I really doubt whether they're going to have a word of mouth at the end. Because, I mean, there are a couple of cool things. There's, you know, a planet that's turns out to have a surface of water, and that's a sort of like just 2 feet of water. But suddenly they get these huge towering waves. I don't know where they came from, but it's a cool effect. And I'm a sucker for things where, you know, the guys are on a planet where the gravity is so high that, you know, like I said, every second they spend is like hours and hours of time in normal terms. So, you know, they do this mission on that planet, and then they go back, and, you know, the spaceman they left behind up there is like 23 years older. I mean, that kind of stuff.
So I gather Anne Hathaway survives.
Well, survives through the story, or survives her reputation.
She'll make another movie. All right, well, let's move along.
She'll make another movie. Like, she's a talented actress. I don't understand this Anne Hathaway hating thing.
Yeah,
she's really
tries a little hard there, Michael.
Yeah,
come on.
I have a handful of actresses who are on my list, and Anne Hathaway is one of them. All right, let's move along.
Did you say Rachel getting married? Okay, all right.
Disney somehow has corralled the offspring of the Michelin Man and the Pillsbury Doughboy and has made a movie out of it, and it's called Big Hero 6. I have no idea what this is about, but there's this giant marshmallow walking around, and kids talk to it.
Awesome.
Well, he's not a marshmallow. Actually, this is a terrific movie, and I think you'd have a great time. I think everyone will have a great time on it. Again, it's one of those kind of John Lasseter executive produced it. It's one of those movies that he makes, whether for Pixar or for Disney, that really are for every generation. And the guy you're talking about is this big, you know, white blob is called Baymax, and he's actually a robot personal healthcare companion. And he is a hilarious character. He really, when you watch him, you know, it's funny when she said that. I thought of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. I thought of the Michelin Man before I saw the movie. When you watch the movie, you don't think of that at all because he is completely his own character. Scott Adds, a really funny comic actor. You've seen him on 30 Rock and other TV shows. He gives the voice this incredibly fey, hard. I wouldn't try to imitate his voice. You know, he fist bumps with the young hero, and his version of a yowl is something like fa la 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 la. You know, it's like incredibly insane, and and it's very funny. It's set in a near future in a city that's like a fusion of Tokyo and San Francisco. It's called San Fransokyo. And it's about, you know, a guy who's a tech genius working out of his garage who wants to get into this San Francisco Institute of Technology where his older brother works and invents this great invention, which is not the Baymax, the robot nurse, but this incredible thing where he can take little tiny robots like nanobots and have them through some transmitter in his brain create anything he can imagine. That gets him into the Institute, but there's an explosion. The good guys die. He goes on a revenge trip, and the guy he takes with him is Baymax, who is programmed to be empathetic and compassionate and nothing like a warrior. So it's very, very funny and also sort of touching when he becomes this. He's programmed to be this fierce karate robot in a kind of Iron Man suit with wings, but he draws a line very carefully at what he'll do and what he won't do to humans. So between that and the pals of this kid, who also are pretty batty, you know, there's like a punk woman who specializes in magnetism and goes along on kind of magnetized wheels that she can use as deadly frisbees. You know, there's just
that's
a total.
Cool. I want one of those.
Absolutely. No. And there's, you know, there's a guy who just is full of laser plasma rays that, you know, shoot out from his.
Well, that does sound fun.
It's a lot of fun and it has a good message.
I'd like to set up the marshmallow concession in the lobby, if I may, during this one. I don't know. One more, if we have a little time left, because I want to get to something right after this. If you could just give us a quick look at another movie you saw. It's called Theory of Everything. It's opening in 5 or 6 movies. But what is this? A quadriplegic love story?
Well, it's a story of Stephen Hawking and his first marriage, and it really is to me. It's gotten great reviews, and you'll hear a lot about it because it's the actor Eddie Redmayne is a contender for best actor. His portrait of Stephen Hawking, who starts out, you know, as a fairly robust young college student in the story, and then gradually succumbs to motor neuron syndrome, is really pretty amazing, not just for the physical incarnation of this guy, but for the way he still communicates his kind of wit and intelligence as almost all of his expressive capabilities are taking away. So it's worth seeing for his performance. But the movie itself is really, I hate to say it, it's like an Illness of the Week movie from Lifetime or one of those channels.
Oh, wow.
It's just totally about his Joan of Arc.
What do you know? Michael doesn't like a movie. Is that not breaking news?
But see, he's got an opinion, and that's what people like. And I'm sad to say that this is the last time, more than likely the last time, that we're going to have you on the program because you're going off to huge things. You are, let me see if I have this right, you are now the L.A. film critic and West Coast editor for Film Comment, which is apparently the magazine of the Film Society of the Lincoln Center. And that sounds like a big deal, buddy.
Well, thanks. I'm excited about it. It's a good magazine, and I've freelanced it over the year for it over the years, and we've come together on this plan that I'll post a review a week for them and keep them posted on some of the things way in advance that we could do some feature coverage and interviews on. So I'm really hopeful this will take off, and it'll be a good thing.
Well, wish you all the luck in the world. It sounds like a great gig, and we've really enjoyed having you on here because you give us a perspective that we often don't think of when we're looking at these movies. And also, we promise not to tell the Lincoln Center that you've ever been on this program.
Oh, now. I would brag about being on this program. No, it's been a lot of fun with Phil Hewlett and friends. So thanks for having me part of the bunch, and I'll keep listening.
Michael Schrago, we'll keep track of your career. Thanks as always, and enjoy the movies.
Okay, you too.
All right, there he goes. And we'll find another guy.
Yeah, on to hate many, many more movies,
yes.
Michael. Good job.
Yeah.
I wanted to thank him for confirming that Inception was a terrible movie because I've been saying that
like
for
that
years.
Yeah.
You didn't like that? You
didn't
like
it either.
Jay,
no.
Did you see it?
No.
I saw it. And I liked it. I don't know what's wrong with me. I like the movies nobody else likes. Hey, you know schools are strapped for money these days, right? A lot of important programs have gone by the wayside, like music. And music is important on so many levels. But how do you bring it back? Coming up, you'll hear from a guy who is leading the charge to make music mandatory in schools. That's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends, and we thank you for that. I'm Phil Hewlett. In case you confused me with some other Phil, Aaron Myers is here, Jay Campidonia, Chris Martin. Learn more about us at our website, philhewlettandfriends.com. And if you are more or less my age, you remember your second and third grade teacher marching you into the assembly room, where you got to pick a musical instrument you'd enjoy learning how to play. I came home one day and said, guess what, Mom, Dad? I'm going to be a trombone player.
I picked the trumpet.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Get out of here.
The only girl.
I had the trumpet, too.
Oh, look at that. Couple of trumpet players. Jay, did you pick an instrument?
I wanted to play the piano and then realized I'm not that talented.
No, oh, wow. Well, lucky for me, my parents embraced the idea, and after a bunch of lessons, I actually became pretty good at playing the trombone. I probably became pretty good at a lot of things because of that musical training. At least that's what the experts say is the case. But times have changed. Budget cuts, among a host of other impediments, are making it real tough for schools to offer any music instruction at all these days. So joining us live is a man who's trying to change that. His name is Vincent James. Welcome to Phil Hewlett and Friends, sir.
Oh, thank you, Phil, and good afternoon, everyone. How are you all?
Doing well, even better now that you're here. Elaborate for us, if you will, on the problem as it stands at schools these days and the lack of music training.
Well, I think what we've seen happening in probably over the last 10 years or so, and then it was accelerated with the recession, is just many school districts, because of the cuts from state funding, were they reduced and or cut music programs because the music and arts programs were not required, you know, by the state educational institutions, you know, to be included. So they were kind of the first things that went out the door. And I relate entirely with you. I was actually another trombone player here on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Fourth grade. And it was my first introduction to music, and then eventually the piano and guitar. And I can't imagine what my life would have been like, you know, without having that music involvement training all through school.
Yeah, it's so important on so many levels. I mean, they say your math is better because reading music, it's all math essentially. But you know what? It's also interesting. Back when I got my trombone, all of my elementary teachers would set aside time for singing in the class, and they all played the auto harp. I don't know if you remember that. Every teacher had one of those. It was a school-issued black auto harp with all the chords clearly labeled on there. So as a treat, every now and then, one of the students who was learning another instrument would get to go up in front of the class and play the auto harp during song time. Whatever happened to auto harps? That seems like a really inexpensive way to inject music into elementary school. Am I wrong?
You know, I can't even remember the auto harp myself, Phil.
Neither can any of us.
Yeah, well, you just lay it on your lap and you press the C chord and you strum it. See, our executive producer, Mike Stark, remembers.
I remember the recorder.
Yeah, well, those too. I mean, they used to hand those.
Recorder?
It's a plastic flute and everybody got them. They cost about $2 now.
Oh.
But right. It's a lot cheaper than an iPad, LAUSD.
Oh! Hi-yo!
But whatever happened to these inexpensive solutions and teachers who it seems to me, it would just be part of their resume that they show up and they could sing pitch perfect and play an instrument or two.
I almost think what's happened is the educational system has been so focused on, so stressed on trying to meet certain criteria for the other subjects, the math and English and science, that the focus from the creative arts, whether it's music or art, you know, has kind of been lost because, you know, they're so overwhelmed with having to try to meet standards on the other subjects when they don't realize that the music, the creative arts, if they were involved with that, would actually help improve those other subjects that are important to them.
Yeah. Now, you think music should be mandatory. I tend to agree with that, but that means somebody's got to pony up the cash for it, right?
Right, that's right. And while I really would like it to be mandatory, I don't know that that's practical. What I would like to see, at least, that it's offered, available in every school. So the kids that want to partake of it, it's available. Not necessarily that it's mandatory that kids take music classes. Well, that would be my ideal solution. But all, you know, practically speaking, just having it available is going to be a jump enough, you know, with funding, trying to make that happen in the schools that have lost it.
Yeah, well, having this conversation helps, I'm sure. But how can we do even more to bring this about, or at least start it across the country somewhere, so that at some point, maybe 5 years, 10 years down the line, what you're saying will become a reality? Is there anything we can do right now?
Well, I think the key is going to be to help convince the state education systems to put the A in STEM, to make it STEAM. You know, change the STEM to STEAM. And what we're doing right now is we're, you know, reaching out and building up basically a community of people, you know, aligned that are passionate about this mission of keeping music alive. And we're putting together a book of inspirational stories, anecdotes, and quotes of how music helped change people's lives. And we hope to use that book as a tool to help inspire both regular people and people in the government that make the decisions to, you know, reconsider the cuts in education, in particular in the arts, and to consider making music one of the things that are required as part of education.
Tell us about your website.
The website we have is lovesongs.com, and I started that about 10 years ago, creating custom songs for people for weddings and anniversaries and other special events. We've turned the focus recently to keep music alive for that, and that's where people can go and, you know, click through to Keep Music Alive and read about the mission that we're doing and read about how they can submit a story or a quote or an anecdote that they'd like to share, you know, with the world.
Yeah, we have a link to that on our links page at philhewlettandfriends.com. I wish you a lot of luck, and I'm completely behind you on this. We'd love to have you on periodically to gauge the success of this, the progress to try to get music back into schools and make everybody better for it. I think that's the goal here. Vincent James, thank you very much for being on the program.
Thank you, Phil, and everyone there. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. All right, there you go. So you gave up on the piano, huh, Jay?
I did, quickly.
What was the first song that you learned? Chopsticks?
No, Mary Had a Little Lamb.
That
and
was it?
I could still kill it on that one.
Yeah?
I would make anybody cry.
I thought it was because your fingers might be too big.
You know, it's just, it's
big hands.
Maybe it's not enough coordination. Like, I didn't start young enough to where, like, the guitar. I can't play the guitar. But my dad and my brother, they play beautifully.
Yeah.
It's just, but they started really, really young.
So they're the talented ones in the family, is what
really
you're saying.
Really funny, Aaron. Yeah. Really funny.
Yeah. They play the guitar,
go
too.
Go home and pet a cat.
And they're getting all the chicks, is that right?
Yeah.
Strap one of those on and you're a lady killer.
Listen, I'm the lead singer. That's what I have talent in.
There you go.
What's up?
You didn't say that one.
Karaoke
night. I was Danny
night.
Zuko, baby, in high school. Oh, yeah. I'm just, oh, God, my life is sad.
And lucky for you, that's it for hour one of the program. But there is more to come, including, never mind the dating sites, why not just go at your own and find a mate? You'll meet a guy who'll pay you to help him. Plus, our tech guy joins us with a 3D printer that makes food. Those stories and more in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show, where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about most. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, do you know a lady who wants to settle down with an older, established guy? No, I'm not talking about me. He'll pay you a bounty if it's a perfect match, by the way. Plus, more tech than you can shake a memory stick at. What's happening this hour? The friends are here. Aaron Myers, Jay Campadonia, Chris Martin. I'm Phil Hewlett. Again, thanks for tuning in. Let's get things started in this second hour, shall we? Aaron, we'll begin with you. And Starbucks, aside from serving a whole lot of coffee and other things, they're starting to expand a little bit on their menu. And with that comes a little controversy. What's this story about?
Yeah, well, last week they announced new guidelines for employees there that they actually allow tattoos and black denim, but they started banning wedding rings and engagement rings that have stones, as well as watches, bracelets, and wristbands. They banned them.
You got to leave them at home.
Yes, so, you know. Gonna get hit on after that part right there. No rings on, girls, they're in trouble. So people were very happy about it. But I guess Starbucks said that they're doing this because now they're gonna start handling a lot more food, so they have to comply with guidelines.
Why don't they just buy gloves?
The stone could rip the glove. I don't know. Maybe.
Wait a minute. Do servers at restaurants wear their diamond rings?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, a lot of waitresses wear them so they don't get hit on.
So how is it different at Starbucks? Are they talking about those
really
diamonds
say.
Harboring the food and the bacteria and that
and
sort
they
of
work
thing?
At Starbucks. Their diamond can't be that big.
Aww.
Yeah, well, you never know.
Could
just
be.
Saying.
Somebody could save up for a long time.
It could
get
be
a
zerk.
Rock.
A zerk? What's a zerk?
Zirconia.
A cubic zirconia. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, somebody gave me a ring pop when I was a kid as a proposal, so I thought
that was
cool.
I gave the current GF a ring pop. I'm like, congratulations.
Did you? Do you spray paint it gold first?
Yeah, no, I keep telling her that as soon as I find that Cracker Jack box with the ring in it, you and I are getting hit.
They have
then
one.
You guys are never getting married then, because Cracker Jack boxes do not have good prizes anymore.
No.
It's always like stickers or things like that.
Well, one of these days they'll have that promotion again, because I think they did it once where they actually had a real ring with a real diamond in a Cracker Jack box.
I will be That's eating awesome. Nothing but Cracker Jacks.
Yeah. Wouldn't you just buy a ton of that?
Yeah, like I just go to Costco. Yes, how many pallets do you have? So are workers protesting? What's the deal?
They're
Who's pissed?
They're just complaining a little bit about it. And, you know, they aren't saying for sure why they can't wear them. They're just saying guidelines. So people not happy. But I know lots of businesses where people don't wear their rings. Or in entertainment, I've had agents tell me if I ever got married, they're like, don't wear your ring to an audition. Yeah. But that's for different reasons.
I'm pretty sure my proctologist doesn't wear his ring.
That's probably a good idea.
When you go on a fishing trip, it's always good to bring along a nice cooler of beer. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. There's no other way to fish, is there?
No. You got to have a cooler of beer and another cooler full of anchovies for bait, right? Is that how that works?
Depending on where you're fishing.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, you might have something else for bait, but true. Just the same. But Aaron, you have a story about a fisherman and his cooler.
His cooler that saved his life, I guess. They found a fisherman alive today after floating for 2 days, and he was clinging to a foam cooler. So out in this open sea with just a foam cooler to hang on to. And I guess he and another man, they set off on a fishing trip. The weather was stormy, and their boat sunk. And fortunately for him, they found him. The other guy, they don't know where he is still. But two coolers is the message there. Two coolers.
Yes, but he was hanging on to one cooler.
One cooler.
And the other guy was not.
Yeah, they don't know where he is. Hopefully they will find him. But
and it's one. You said it was a styrofoam cooler?
Foam cooler, yeah.
So it's like one of those like on the way out.
Yeah.
Hey, let's stop at the AMPM, grab the cooler, grab the beer, grab the ice, and then we're out. And then we're going to. I did not know those were like withstand something like that. I didn't know they were
that. But I'll tell you what, if I'm the maker of it, I hear that story and I think it's time for a new marketing strategy. Uh-huh. We're selling beer cooler / life preservers right here.
This cooler can save your life.
It. Yeah. And then the first person who drowns hanging onto a beer cooler, then they're going to have to change it and put the warnings and all of that.
Yes, right? Do not use this as a flotation device.
They'll get the sales spike first.
Yeah.
I was at the IKEA this weekend. And they were selling these, they're like plastic storage containers that you put under your bed.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And on them is a picture with, you know, with the red circle and the line through it. And there was a picture of a baby inside the storage container.
No.
Yeah. Don't put a baby in a storage container? That's
exactly.
And then just put it under your bed?
So these styrofoam beer coolers, I mean, I can't wait to see all the warnings that they're going to have to put
on there. Yeah, just like not Coast Guard approved. That's all you got to put.
Uh-huh.
Then you're done. But this cooler can save your life.
It can.
It did.
There's warnings everywhere, even in Holland, Aaron.
Yes. Yes. And this is weird. It's just strange. In Amsterdam, the Dutch royal family has this palace in downtown Amsterdam that they use for work. It's not a residence, but apparently it went under renovation and that ended in 2011. And I guess people started peeing on the palace for some reason.
Wow.
There were dark places and turrets, and they used it as a restroom. So now, yesterday, the Interior Ministry said that, you know, they, I guess, put a fence up around it after all this. They said the fence is just unworthy of this historic location, so they're installing lights and movement sensors to try to get people to stop peeing on the palace. And they're reminding people there's a fine. But they said if this does not work, they might install urinals that actually rise out of the ground at night and then they go back down in the sidewalk during the day. Like, how cool is that? A floating urinal that comes out of the ground?
That's
crazy.
That's one of those solutions where they say, well, they're going to do it anyway.
Yeah. Can't stop them. God forbid they put a police officer out there.
Yeah.
God forbid somebody gets clubbed in the head for urinating on a historic spot.
I have a better
like a
idea.
Palace.
Wolverines.
Yeah, yeah, right?
Wouldn't that solve the problem? Well, then the Wolverines will start.
They'll pee on it, too.
Yes.
Release them, and the Wolverines just go running off into the dark.
Yeah. Right. Don't people pee on the Alamo, too?
I think people pee on anything, depending on the circumstances. Yeah, especially when it's dark out.
So then for them, it's a matter of convenience. It's not like a protest. It's not like they're making a statement.
It seems like, convenience, but I mean, I think it's been happening so often, people are probably kind of jumping on the bandwagon. Yeah.
People having a little bit too much of a party there in Amsterdam.
Here's what I think of the Royal Palace.
Yeah. Smells lovely.
Yeah. All right. Well, we love the world records, Jay.
We do.
And when they tie together with a favorite pastime, like a game of golf, we like it even better.
I am not a big golfer, but I do try to play. Chris, do you play?
I love golf, yeah.
Do you have a
That's
handicap?
That's my game. No, I don't have a handicap. I don't want to be categorized, Jay.
but you're a legitimate player.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What about you, Phil? You play?
I'm what you call a duffer.
What is a duffer?
I don't know.
Notice I didn't ask Aaron because I don't care. Anyways, a Texas man.
I rock at golf.
A Texas man. Yeah, right. A Texas man. You're too busy picking up animal turds. All right.
Oh.
So there is now a new world record for the longest golf club. It measures 20 feet 6 inches. Now, somebody actually took the time to do this, so I thought it was kind of interesting. The guy actually used it. Michael It's F-U-R-R-H.
That's how you pronounce it.
His club down in Arlington, Texas, of course, the world's largest golf club has to come from Texas.
Everything's bigger in Texas.
Oh, man, I'm watching the video.
Is that not awesome?
How do you even pick that
are
up?
Are you kidding me? Oh.
He swings the heck out of it, and he knocked a golf ball 63 yards, which is about as far as I can drive
a ball.
And
he can't move it on the backswing very fast, otherwise he might hurt himself, I'm thinking.
Yeah, well, the thing's going to bend, too.
Yeah.
He beat the previous Guinness World Record of 18 feet 5 inches. The whole thing about the world's longest golf club is you have to be able to use it. So I thought that was kind of cool.
So this is the video where he actually hits it. Now, it's interesting for him because he actually has to watch the club all the way back, which is what you don't do when
so he doesn't
you
take himself
drive.
Out.
Well, you might hit a car parked in the parking lot, 25 feet behind you.
It looks like he hit it about 20 yards.
Says 63.
Yeah.
That's what the story says. They also use a little golf meter, I guess. I don't know. Something to track your ball. 63 yards.
It's impossible to get an upslope on that swing. And that's what you need on a drive. You have to get some upslope on the when you strike the ball. Isn't that right, Chris?
Well, the loft on the face is going to create your upslope. So you don't necessarily need that.
A what now?
But I just watched the video. This definitely falls into the we have way too much time on our hands
category.
That's
what I was wondering. Why do people do these things? I don't get it.
Makes no sense at all. This guy just swinging this big limp rod.
Continuing with that category of stories, up next, Chris, you have one about one of our most favorite foods on the planet has now been made even better. And that's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and not back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for listening. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends, and we're back. And the show continues. A little tidbit here. You probably noticed that people are just driving a lot worse last week or so. It just happened suddenly. In fact, there is a 7% increase in car accidents the week after we set our clocks back.
Why is that?
It's because sleeping patterns thrown off.
People's body clocks, exactly. Yeah. They're thrown off. But I think it's also people drive worse when it's dark, and you're driving home from work where you don't normally drive home in the dark when you're in the daylight saving, singular, by the way, saving time. It's not savings, it's saving time.
Yeah.
You can make a note of that.
That's like Valentine's Day.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say my sister, she just came out here to spend some time with me. And in the last couple of days, we've had to do a lot of driving around. And she's from another part of the States. And in the 2 days that we've been driving around, we witnessed a car smash into a motorcycle rider and knock him off his bike onto the street.
Wow.
And several other close calls. And she goes, "You guys drive crazy here in this state."
Yeah.
And I said, "Yeah, you're going to get used to that." Yeah.
Welcome home.
You drive across the country, you find out in a hurry which states are the crazy driving states and which states are the easygoing states. And you ever rent a car in Hawaii, you find out in a hurry that you don't really have to get anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah.
You could drive 45 and everybody's happy on the freeway. All right, Chris, a handful of perfect foods out there. And Mother Nature really did it right when it came up with Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. When she did, right? Isn't that true?
Oh,
isn't that one of the
she
perfect
nailed
foods?
It.
The mixture of chocolate and peanut butter? Is that just spectacular?
It's one of the greatest combinations ever.
Yeah.
You know, it's like peas and carrots, Lucy and Ricky.
Yeah. Except that's not
just
a food.
Up there on the list.
I'm taking peas and carrots out of that one.
Would you really?
Yeah, yes. I'm not a big fan of peas either.
Well, why would you say that?
Yeah, because it's one of those things that just go together like that.
Oh.
You know?
Like yin and yang.
Right. There you go. Well, but those are opposites also, aren't they?
Aaron and Katz.
Oh. Yeah, show over. Good night, everybody.
Yeah.
Aaron and Katz and Jay and pasta.
But Reese's.
Yeah, there you go.
Reese's peanut butter cups for sure.
Yeah, all right. So what's new about the peanut butter cups?
Well, they've done something with the peanut butter cups that you guys are just going to love. Reese's peanut butter cups are now being made into a sandwich spread.
No
way. Can you believe this? So, you know, and I don't even really like sweets all that much, but I'm excited about this.
Well, peanut butter was already a sandwich spread.
Right, yeah. And a staple in sandwich spread, too, you know, peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, but adding the chocolate to it. Mm.
Yeah, and it looks like if you took a bag full of Reese's peanut butter cups and dropped them into a blender and just blended it up, and it just looks amazing. I don't know how people are going to get the spread off the knife and onto the bread.
You mean it might? They might eat it.
Oh, eat it?
Or? Yeah, you just eat it before it makes it. Yeah.
Again, another need for a warning sign on the jar. Please do not stick the knife in your mouth.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Hey, do you guys think this is going to worry Nutella? Think they have some new competition?
Well, Nutella's a different flavor altogether, and it's an acquired taste. If you haven't had Nutella yet, it's made out of something from another planet. I don't know what it is, but it's
hazelnut.
Is that what it is?
That's what Nutella is.
Yeah. Oh, hazelnut. Totally coffee different creamer. Planet.
Yeah.
Hazelnut.
I don't know where they grow
those. But Trader Joe's has that Spookaloos that's chocolate, peanut butter, but it's got a crunch to it, kind of like a crunch candy bar. Oh.
Spookaloos?
It's called Spookaloos. It is phenomenal. It's like crack.
Is it?
Yeah.
I have no way to compare.
No, don't. Save yourself.
Yeah?
The calories are not worth it.
Oh, so go for the crack.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you can't compare because you haven't had the Spookaloo yet.
That's right,
right,
exactly. If you've never heard of the beer mile, it's probably because you're a good person. If you have heard of it, sit back and smile while I share its glory with the rest of the world. The beer mile is a challenge that combines two polar opposite things, running fast and chugging beer. Here's how it works. You chug a beer, run a quarter mile, and repeat until you've run a full mile. And in the process, you've chugged four beers. Well, the beer mile is actually making some news now because a 44-year-old mother of six just broke the women's beer mile world record by 13 seconds. 44-year-old Chris Kimbrough of Austin, Texas, just ran the mile, chugged the four beers in 6 minutes, 28.6 seconds.
Wow.
Wow.
That, how does that not come right back up?
That's what I was thinking the last quarter.
That's running fast, isn't it?
Up-chuck. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's faster than I'd run without the beer, so that's fast.
You know, I can run an 8 minute. I think I ran a 7 minute mile on a treadmill once, and everybody's looking at me like they're waiting. You know, they're laying down bets as to when I'm going to fall. You know, do the treadmill fall? That is fast running. Anyway, the previous women's record was set back in 1997 by a woman who did it in 6 minutes 42 seconds. The men's record was set earlier this year by a 34-year-old guy from San Francisco. James Nielsen is his name, and his name deserves to be uttered. He did the first beer mile under 5 minutes. He did 4 minutes, 57 seconds. How do they do that?
Very talented people.
Mm-hmm.
They drink the beer in a hurry, obviously.
I mean, I drink, and like sometimes I get going, and you start, you know, slamming them a little bit. But to be running and doing that, I don't want to do that. I don't want to mix business and pleasure.
But when you slam it, you get a little loopy in a hurry, don't you?
Yeah, well, maybe that just takes away from the pain, so you just keep running.
Right, but do you run straight?
No. No way.
Well, and in 6 minutes or 4 minutes if you're a guy, do you even have the time for the beer to process through your system? I mean, it's over before you know
it. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's
a
good one.
Didn't think about it like that, yeah.
See?
Hey, we were, Aaron, we were talking about food there, and sometimes the crime report has an attachment to food, and in this case, it's something the ladies like this, and I don't get it. There's ice cream in this flavor. There's you could just buy it raw and just eat it yourself, and I don't get it at all. Oh. But anyway, tell us what's going on here, Aaron.
It's about cookie dough, and yes, it's awesome. It's amazing.
You're a cookie dough eater?
I do. When I make cookies, I end up eating like half the dough before I stick it in the oven, unfortunately. So
isn't there raw egg in cookie dough?
Yeah, but you just don't think about it while you're
so
eating
what?
It. Afterwards, your stomach might hurt a little bit, but it's so worth it.
Yeah.
And it was worth it to this man in Kansas, too, because apparently he's been arrested on suspicion of burglary. I can't say that word.
Burglary.
This is like the third time probably I've had to say it on here, and I can't say it. Burglary.
Yeah.
In Wichita, a woman found him in her home eating cookie dough from her freezer in the early morning hours, around 3:30. And I guess the guy said that the door was unlocked and he thought it was his aunt's house and he was hungry.
Oh.
So
yeah, right.
See, cookie dough, it saves you at 3:30 in the morning or gets you arrested.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're talking food. Let's keep the food thing going, Jay.
He must have been drunk out of his mind.
He had to be.
Can we settle for once and for all what the heck a McRib is made out of?
It is made of dreams of little children. That's how great it is. It is just made of rainbows, sunshine, and little puppy dogs.
Ground up unicorn horn.
Yeah, so McDonald's is continuing their effort to reach people, saying that their McRib sandwich, the holiest of holy sandwich that they have there, is actual meat It's actual fresh product. Do you guys ever watch the Mythbusters?
Oh, yeah, sure.
So they hired one of their cats. Remember the three guys? There was like the three players that they weren't the two main guys. One guy was named Grant Imahara.
Yeah. I remember Grant, sure.
He's the smart one. They've hired him, and they went around to one of the plants where they make the McRib meat. And it actually shows and it demonstrates how the McRib is made without the bone and all this stuff. It basically is a giant slab of meat that is ground down and then put into a mold to make it look like it's ribs, like you're having baby backs.
So, but there's no added stuff that isn't edible.
No, that's what they're trying to prove.
Okay,
everything that goes into the McRib meat mixture, whatever you want to say, mold, is all edible. It's all fine. It's all good for you. It's just cheaper product.
Like that stuff at the end of the shift underneath that grate that they all stand
on
at the restaurant.
No, they don't use that.
And then they hose it into a bucket and they throw that in and mix it. That's called filler.
No, exactly. It's just giant meat, but it's the gross thing is it's probably not meat that you would serve at your barbecue.
No.
It's not like rib meat. It's just kind of meat. It's pork meat, but... they don't say where the pork meat came from.
I'm just Jay. It's just remarkable. The show fun page today at filthyhulitandfriends.com. There's that McDonald's video you talk about is there.
It is.
The lady in the Skittles dress is there. The guy with the giant golf club is there. But there's also. Do you know anything about this? There's a guy with maggots in his armpit.
Yes,
oh,
I do.
What is that?
He traveled to Africa and somehow a maggot got in there. And he had to have 20 of them removed from beneath his skin.
It wasn't just one, it was 20.
20.
Oh. That's what this video is?
Can you believe that? Oh, I'm glad those guys put it up. I didn't watch it. I read the headline, read the story, and about lost my breakfast. So.
Oh, my God.
Your McRib was coming up.
I don't know if I'm going to watch it.
But that's brutal.
Oh, gosh. You know what else? All right. From food to maggots, back to food. Our tech guy is next, and typically he doesn't talk about food, but in this case... Can you believe that you can buy a 3D printer now, press print, and out comes a cheeseburger?
A McRib?
Maybe. Our tech guy's next. You'll hear him here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Oh, you're so techie, aren't you? That's why you're listening to this segment of Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Aaron, Jay, and Chris are here, and Jeremy Antacuni, our tech genius, is on the line with us via Skype.
What's up, gang?
Which is technology that you ought to look into, really, because Jeremy uses it, and you sound great. It sounds like you're in the next room, if not this room, Jeremy. It's great how
could
we
can do that. Could have fooled me, guys.
Yeah.
Could have fooled me. How are we?
We are doing great, and we got a couple of stories to run down here, and people are getting mad at their stuff these days, and CVS and Rite Aid, are they still not using Apple Pay? Because there was a big dust-up over that, right?
No, they're not. And listen to this. So as it turns out, there's a handful of retailers that have joined together to create a mobile wallet. And so what they're doing is actually disabling the Google Wallet and Apple Pay methods in order to, you know, push their own method, which still isn't available yet, has already been hacked, and will be rolling out sometime next year. So
isn't that a kind of an antitrust position to take?
It is. And so actually there's now an investigation into it. So we'll see what comes out of that. But their idea was they're going to come up with a mobile wallet called Currency. And essentially you have an app that you install, and then you use that and you link it to your bank account and then use it when you go to pay. The problem is that, well, there's several problems. One, let me describe the steps for Apple Pay. And then we'll talk about Currency. So with Apple Pay, you take out your phone, you hold it near the register, and you're done. That's it. All you have to do is just hold your phone next to the register, and it scans your fingerprint, charges your default card, and you're done.
That's taxing.
Yeah, I know. It's tough. Currency, listen to this. Step one, you tell the cashier that you want to pay with Currency. Then you pull out your phone. You unlock it because you have to go find the Currency app and load that up. Then you hand your phone to the cashier, and they scan a QR code, and then you cross your fingers and hope that it scans properly, and then if it does, they automatically debit your checking account. No credit card, no fraud protection. They directly reach their hands into your checking account and then pull that money out.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, wow. Somebody called the LAUSD. They need to use that.
I don't think so.
Is this CVS or what was it again?
So it's CVS and Rite Aid. They're the ones that really made news when they blocked Apple Pay. But it's Walmart, CVS, Rite Aid, Kmart, Target, 7-Eleven. So there's a large group of retailers.
That's a powerful group right there.
It is.
But how could they be so technology dumb?
Well, here's the problem. So, you know, because when you go and do your shopping, your credit card has your name on it, right?
Yeah.
They're building a profile based on the name that you're using and the items that you're buying so that they're able to pretty precisely predict things that you're interested in, send you advertisements and other offers that are relevant to what you purchase. With Apple Pay, they don't get the person's name when they're checking out. All they do is get a one-time credit card number so that the purchase is paid for, but they don't know who bought it.
Yeah, and this is why you like it, because it's secure. It's about as secure as a transaction can get.
It's as secure as it gets, absolutely. And they hate it because they no longer know who's buying what. And unless you use your loyalty program cards for them to be able to associate that transaction with you, they're not going to know who's buying what. And so that's really, I think, what it comes down to is the fact that they're going to lose access to all kinds of information and demographics information that they can use to target you later on.
Right. And the Google wallet is about as easy to use as the Apple Pay, right?
Absolutely. And that was actually working just fine at these locations, but there were so few people that really did use it. It wasn't until the Apple Pay came along, made a big splash, and really got people excited about using mobile payments that they finally said, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Let's shut it off. So they actually shut off both Apple Pay and Google Wallet. So you can't use either of them now.
Chris, are you using the Google Wallet?
You know, I was thinking about using an app that came with my new phone, because I just bought the new Galaxy S5 and it had an app on it called the ISIS wallet. And I just thought it was funny because literally ISIS, right? Well, now they've renamed it to the soft card, but it is something that was automatically installed in my phone. I think it is the wave of the future, though.
Yeah, but did that come from the terrorist group ISIS?
I don't think so, but I think that the company owners retook a look at it here recently and said, we better change this. Now it's called soft card.
Yeah, well.
What an unfortunate name. Yeah, I think that we're going to see more and more usage of these. I think Apple Pay really is going to blaze the trail and show people how easy it is to use your phone as a payment device. And in Google Pay or Google Wallet or Apple Pay, either one, I think is going to be, you know, there's certainly room for more than one. But you certainly are not going to find currency on any of my devices ever.
Yeah. Well, thanks. We'll take that advice. It's good advice. Android users are a little upset these days. Their batteries are getting the life sucked out of them. And that's happening to me for various reasons. Which reason are you focused on today?
Well, we talked about this last week before the show, Phil, and you were saying your battery is just dying completely horribly fast in comparison to how it was before you did this update. And at that point, we didn't have a fix for you, but Google has released a fix. They did acknowledge that there are some serious battery drain issues with their latest build of Android 5, which is a Lollipop. If you've got Wi-Fi on and gosh, I can't believe you'd actually use Wi-Fi, your battery just gets sucked down and then dies very prematurely. So they actually have started delaying the rollout of Lollipop to other devices as they, fix this and get this fix rolled into the update so that people don't have this issue once they install the new update when it becomes available.
Good to know.
Devices.
I'll look into it. All right. Now, perhaps the most exciting technological advancement in our lifetime, the 3D printer that makes food.
I am going to disagree with you on that. I think that's disgusting. 3D printers are awesome. They're really cool. I think that at this point they're, for professionals that have a need to do rapid prototyping and so forth, or hobbyists that want to build little parts and pieces, 3D printers are amazing. I think we're going to see more and more 3D printers as we go on, and you'll be able to, print out things at home. But for me, printing out food, I think that we've got enough problems with preservatives and other disgusting things in the foods that we're eating that, turning to your printer to eat, you're not going to see me eating that stuff.
Well, it takes laziness to the next level. I'll give you that much.
Well, some of the best inventions ever have been born from laziness.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
For people like me who set their microwave on fire, this could actually be a good thing.
Don't put metal in the space oven,
Okay. Yeah, I didn't see that little sticker on the
bottom. What can you make with this 3D printer, Jeremy?
You can make pizzas and burgers, and I'm sure you can make chicken wings and other disgusting things. But, you know, I'm afraid, man. I don't want to eat from my printer.
It's pretty sweet, though, man, if you're sitting there and instead of, you know, it's like for the loaded population. Dude, let's order a pizza. But that's like a half an hour. Oh, wait, I got an idea. Boom, and you hit the button. You got a pizza.
The problem is, have you ever seen a 3D printer working? They take hours and hours for you to make the smallest little thing. So I can't imagine that this would be any faster than delivery unless there's some, you know, quantum breakthroughs in the technology.
Well, get some of your Brainiac friends on this, man. Let's get this thing going. Let's get a Kickstarter and all that.
Oh, you know, I guess there's plenty of people that will do this and they will eat it. But I'm staying away from this one.
All right, Jeremy. We learned a lot today from you. Thanks, as always, for talking tech with us on Thursdays on the program. Jeremy Anticone.
All right, gang. See you next week.
Hey, isn't it true that you can find just about anything on the internet?
Yeah.
Of course it is. You can find a car, a house, a knickknack for that house. How about a bride? Well, of course you could find a bride. And coming up, you'll meet a guy who's getting a lot of attention for a website he set up to attract a mate, and we'll see how he's doing next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, it's Phil Hewlett and friends. We're back, and dating, remember dating? It used to be so complicated. You had to go to places where there's people. You had to select a potential mate from a crowd of those people and then come up with something to say in that first awkward moment and hope you hit it off. And then you go through this lengthy courtship process. You fall in love, meet the parents, plan a future. Oh, it's also tiresome when you can make things happen in a snap of a finger on the internet, right? Well, let's put the modern process under the microscope with a perfect example of somebody who we think has already tried the old school experience at least once and is right in the middle of the new school version of dating. David Greenberg is his name as he joins us now. David, tell us.
Hello. I'm here.
Tell us about yourself, young man.
Well, that's. I'm over 68 to begin with.
Oh, okay.
But the problem is, I don't look it. I'm too young for my age.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing. It should work in your favor.
I'm looking. Oh, say that again?
I say that should work in your favor with the ladies.
It is. And it's not that I'm looking for a younger woman. I could be with a woman of any age, up or down, if it works. But when a lot of women see my age, that kind of discourages them. And the women who are in halfway decent shape are usually much younger.
Yeah, all right.
That's what I'm talking about. Attaboy.
Yeah, right. They've still got their superstructure in place.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of women out there who are 55, 60, who look great, and there are a lot that just don't.
Now, so, wait a second. Why not just be honest about that then? Just be like, look, you need to be a hot babe, otherwise you're wasting your time.
No. Actually, I kind of... my kind of a motto is one from the Eagles song, One of These Nights.
Yeah.
And it's, I've been searching for the daughter of the devil himself.
Oh, yeah.
An angel in white, a woman who's a little of both, but she's been nowhere in sight.
Yeah.
So I'm looking for someone who's sweet.
Oh, I get it. Like, lady in the streets, freak in the sheets, right?
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah. Wow. Just leave out that other verse from the song. So one of these nights, bang, zoom to the moon. All right. So, Dave, you have this website, marrydave.com, and our very own Erin Myers has taken a look at your website, and she's checked you out a little bit. And,
I read all of it, yeah. Actually.
And so what's your assessment of Dave there, Erin?
Yeah, does he have a shot?
It seems actually pretty legit here. Like, you're looking for somebody to have a good time with, but nothing too crazy, and looks like you want to treat them well, so correct?
Define have a good time.
Well,
I'm looking to get married.
Yes, well, that, yes. But also enjoy yourself. Enjoy
of course.
Life, yes.
You're talking about travel and stuff like that?
No.
That's a problem. That's a problem.
He doesn't like to fly.
That's why I have the reward. I've got a $1,000 reward for the person who sends the woman to my website, and I marry her. The problem is I have three strikes against me right off the bat.
What are those?
In the baseball analogy, I don't fly, for one thing. So travel is pretty much limited to the U.S., Canada, or Mexico, and I'm not too crazy about going on a cruise ship these days either.
All right, one strike and a half.
I don't fly. And a lot of women have told me right point blank that that's a deal breaker.
All right, what else?
Not loaded with money.
Okay.
I've got 802 credit. I've got great credit. I don't owe a penny, but I've had a few business losses, and so I'm not loaded with money. And but there again, some women have said they don't want to start over again.
Yeah. All right. And you've been married a couple times, haven't you?
I've been married twice. First time, it just wasn't a good match, but I got two great kids out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the second time, I was a schmuck, if you know what that means.
Hey, you're owning up to your responsibility.
Atta boy.
There you
now,
go.
See, that's a good quality in a man, honesty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I left a good woman. It was a big mistake. It was 17 years ago. She was a great woman, and I was a jerk.
Yeah, well.
And I was stupid to leave her. That was my mistake. I wouldn't do that again.
And now you're in this situation, and you're getting some publicity here. Have any women made the first cut?
I've had quite a few emails, but here again, the third strike is that I'm not at all religious.
Oh,
and so that kind of eliminates a lot of the ethnic type of people in the area.
Is that what you're looking for? You're looking for a little ethnicity?
Little flavor?
I am open to all races, ethnicities, religions, if they're not practiced. I'm just looking for someone to love and who will love me, and we have chemistry.
Yeah, yeah.
So now, why not just have friends? I mean, why do you have to get married? Why do this a third time to yourself?
Well, I kind of like the ritual, and I'm kind of old-fashioned being the age that I am, and I like walking down the aisle, and I like the whole... I like the whole thing, as I say, yeah. You know, the first time and then the second time. The third time's supposed to be the charm.
So let's review.
Now you know what you'll know what they want and what yeah. you'll
and
so,
not
you
to
do
be
right.
A schmuck.
Yes.
So let's review. He's looking for a smoking hot atheist who never wants to leave the house.
Right. Sounds like a maid, sir.
There's a mail order bride. I think you might want to look down that.
Yeah. Why not go that route?
Yeah, no. I'm right here in the U.S. She's gotta be here. She could be anywhere, actually, in the U.S. If I meet her online and we hit it off online, buy her a ticket to come to San Diego.
Well, I'm curious to know how the process is going. I mean, I asked about the first cut. Have there been a stack of pictures come in? Or do you collect the pictures? I mean, what's going on? Have you met anybody? Talked with a lady who?
I've had a number of coffee dates. Nothing has panned out to be much more than that. I've got another one coming up this weekend, and of course, I've been doing this for a number of years. I also had. About 6 years ago, I had some TV time.
Yeah,
and I got some interest. I mean, I have posters on my.
Well, you've been out of circulation for a while. So how's your style? Do you bring some flowers? You put on a little cologne? I mean, what do you do?
Yeah, no, I'm good with the cologne, and I look good. I'm in good shape, relatively speaking, for my age.
Yeah,
I could lose 10 pounds. Uh-huh. Good home cooking and some great sex, that would probably melt right away.
That's what I'm talking about. Good job.
Yeah.
So how's the grooming? You're okay in that case?
No, pretty good. Yeah? Pretty good, yeah. I'm not sophisticated or high style. But I'm a blue-collar type Jeep driving kind
of
guy.
And you got a place to live. I mean, you're not asking the ladies to live in the back of a van, right?
No. I have a nice little apartment right here in San Diego. It's just perfect for me, and I have a little foster cat. And that's my
Aaron
sleeps with me at night.
That you just hit the sweet spot for Aaron.
Kitties are great.
She likes the cats. Mm. Well, you know, we're gonna try this. We're gonna try Aaron a couple times. We're gonna have her keep coming back to your website and see if maybe she gets a shine for you, because she's a bit of in the rebound right now.
That's true.
Well, that's not a good play. That doesn't work for me, because I've been out there for 17 years.
Oh, yeah? Oh, so the rebound is the strike.
Yeah,
in
I might
case.
Be a man eater right now. So yeah, that's probably.
Yeah, a while.
Yeah.
That is funny.
We'll let her simmer.
All right. This guy's looking for a wife, but he's so picky.
Yeah. All right.
I think it's hilarious, man. I'm not dogging on you.
Problem.
I think it's great. I think what you're doing around in San Diego, you drive around with like a billboard on your car, right?
I do.
Well, that's
you got to go after the things you want, though.
I have two cars, and I have posters on both cars. MarryDave.com, $1,000 reward.
Yeah.
And I get all kinds of attention. I could be driving down the highway at 70 miles an hour. Someone ride by me, give me the thumbs up. They're laughing. Or the stoplight. So
well, ladies ought to be able to appreciate that kind of tenacity. I mean, you are down with the concept, and you don't care what people think. You're just going to go until you hit your goal.
Yeah, why would I care what someone thinks? I mean, I'm not doing anything that anyone objects to. Actually, that's not true. I got a couple of notes on my car where it's parked that I was being mocking women.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Yeah, come on.
Yeah. I mean, isn't that ridiculous?
You just want to treat a lady nice.
Yeah, it's hard to find the right person.
I like to do the little things for a woman. I'm a good guy. I'm honest. And I am totally faithful in a relationship. I'm one of the good guys. I'm just not loaded, and I don't fly, and I'm not religious.
Yeah, all right.
Someone can handle my flaws.
Well, we all have them.
MarryDave.com is the website, and if you forget what those two words sound like or look like, we have the link to the website on our website, PhilHewlettAndFriends.com. Dave, good luck. We're going to track your success, and if we have
a
chance to turn Aaron into a $1,000 bounty for the program, we will certainly figure that out.
Again, if anybody contacts me, I'd like to see pictures.
Of course. Who doesn't?
Yeah, good job.
All right.
And our visual creatures.
Of course we are. Mm-hmm. Dave, great talking with you, and good luck on your quest to find a bride.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. There's David Greenberg. What do you think?
Good for him.
Yeah?
I think Aaron got a little sweet when he mentioned that he had a cat.
Come on, guys and cats, that's cute.
I think it's not.
It is.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're a lady and you don't have a strong father figure in your life, he just might be the guy for you.
There you go.
Yeah.
I like that idea. That's a good one.
Right.
Now we should drive around with posters on our cars.
Yeah. What would our posters say?
No, Daddy, I got the guy for you.
I'm just kidding. Sounds like a banner for strippers all across America.
Right, exactly. Who's your daddy? Hey, we love your comments. Just go to our website, PhilHewlettAndFriends.com, and click on Contact. We're on Twitter as well, at Faf Show, PHAF, like Phil Hewlett and Friends, on Facebook.com/PhilHewlettAndFriends. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark. Our producer is Brooke Peterson. Production assistant, Nick Wright. Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Aaron Myers, Jay Campadonia, and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. Enjoy the music.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief.
headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.